Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. You know that song. It is a classic. Oh, I grew up with that song, and it's just always been a favorite. It is, of course, Hello, Dolly. And it's a show that was on, perhaps you've seen the movie with Barbara Streisand, perhaps you saw, it was on Broadway, of course, originally with Carol Channing, Pearl Bailey. That was like the role that every woman wanted to play. And then it came back a couple of years ago with Bette Midler. That track actually is from the Bette Midler version of Hello, Dolly, more recently on Broadway, where, by the way, I sat in the front row and got to shake Bette Midler's hand. Don't ask what that cost, Nick. Anyway, so from there, and now it is traveling, and it is in Chicago at the Oriental Theater, playing through November 17th, and I had no doubt. Oh, it's starring Betty Buckley. Yes, Betty Buckley from Cats and all sorts of great shows. But I asked for one of my favorite people on stage to join me for the podcast. I mean, we could have had lots of different people. I said, no, please get me Nick Rouleau, because he plays Cornelius Hackle, one of the leads. But Nick was in Book of Mormon in Chicago for a very long time, and I'm just crazy about him. I think he's just so fantastic, and he went to Broadway to play the same role, and I'm pretty sure, Nick, you set a record, because am I right? You played Elder.
I did.
You played Elder Price like 2,500 times?
Over 2,500 performances. That's correct. Over 6.5 years.
Oh, my God.
A very long time.
Did you ever get tired of it, or were you good? I mean, you just said, I'm good.
Honestly,
with this.
No. I never got tired of it. It's like that show was just so funny and so fun and such a joy to do. I absolutely loved every performance.
Now, when you were in Chicago, by the way, I'm fairly sure it was the beginning of the national tour, and playing
it was.
Elder. Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, playing Elder Cunningham at that time was a guy named Ben Platt. Whatever happened to him?
You may have heard of him. He's kind of fallen off the face of the earth a little bit lately.
Yeah, just with this show called
Dear. He's had crazy, amazing success with Dear Evan Hansen, and obviously now he's working on some new TV show with Ryan Murphy, and he's doing so well, and I'm so happy for all of his success.
Isn't that just
to watch?
And please, I'm sure you're in touch with him, and please be sure I said hi to him, would you?
I will absolutely let him know.
All right, so that's great. But listen, you're doing great as well, because when I saw that you were leaving a Book of Mormon, because I follow your every move, I thought, where's he going? Where's he going? And then there it is, Hello, Dolly, on tour, made total sense to me. Portraying the role of Cornelius Hackle. Look, there may be some listeners on the younger end who have no idea what Hello, Dolly is all about. I'm going to let you tell them what it's about and where you fit in.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's obviously a very classic Broadway American musical. One of the greats, and if you haven't seen it yet, you have to see it, and this is the production to see. I play Cornelius Hackle, who is the chief clerk for Mr. Van de Gelder. He works in his shop and works nonstop all day, all night, and never gets any time off, and he wants nothing more than to have an evening free, to travel into New York City, and to have an adventure, and that's what he's going to do. So you see him plotting that in sort of the first couple minutes of the show, and then the chaos ensues from there.
Now, I did see it on Broadway, as I mentioned, with Bette Midler, which, you ever see it with, I mean, here you are in it, but did you ever see it with Bette yourself?
So, I saw the show 6 times on Broadway. I was a little bit of a super fan. I saw Bette Midler twice, and I saw Bernadette Peters 4 times.
Gotcha.
I loved the production. I thought it was an absolutely incredible, brilliant production, beautiful from start to finish, and I never actually even thought that I would be able to get to do it, and so then when the tour came about, I jumped at the chance, and I said 100% yes, I have to do this production. I love it.
Did I make you jealous when I said I was front row center for Bette?
I was a little jealous, although you know I'm going to top you. I got to go to opening night, and I got to see her at the party, which was quite exciting as well.
You did top me. You did top me. Although, this won't top you, but I did go backstage afterwards to see David Hyde Pierce, and so and was waiting for Bette to walk by,
nice.
And she never did. But that was kind of cool. But that's us talking about it. We can talk about that some other time. I have a trivia question. I have a trivia question for you. So you're stepping in the role who on Broadway was played by Gavin Creel. So those are some great shoes to be stepping into. You probably do know the answer to this, but do you know who played your role on Broadway back in 1964?
Oh, I do know this. Wait. Oh, it's going to kill me.
All right, I'll tell you. Give me a hint.
Well, okay.
He actually got he was very well known as kind of a goofy character with big glasses. And he
Charles Nelson Reilly.
That's it. I was going to say
there
the match
is.
Game and the ghost of Mrs. Muir. Charles Nelson Reilly. Which, you know, it's really interesting because from Gavin Creel to you, talk to me about Cornelius Hackle. Well, you did tell about the role, but I get that jump from Gavin Creel to you in that role. But all of that is a very far cry from Charles Nelson Reilly, I think.
I mean, I guess it just depends, you know, how you want Cornelius Hackle to go. You know, he's definitely got that youthful energy. He's definitely sort of like the young male ingenue of the show. Very innocent, wide-eyed, but also frustrated and sort of, you know, at the end of his rope in terms of his personal life and just ready to sort of launch off into that next chapter of his life.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're having fun. So Betty Buckley is in this role, so I have to ask you this question because I saw Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
There is that scene in the courthouse in the second act, which we can't even begin to tell listeners about it. Let's just say Bette Midler puts on a 10 or 15 minute show without a word being said, and you don't even want a word being said. It is absolutely classic, and I kind of wondered whether only Bette Midler could do it, but you saw Bernadette Peters, and Donna Murphy would be in for Bette Midler when she wasn't on. I don't know if you ever saw Donna, but my question is, with Betty Buckley now, who's here in Chicago, how does it, what do we get? How does it change? Is Betty Buckley doing her own thing, or how does that rate to...
I'm going to let you know. I'll just say you won't be disappointed in any part of Betty Buckley's performance. It is a very different Dolly compared to every other one that I've seen, and yet all of them work so beautifully, and she brings just something special to the role. You know, obviously, her voice, she's known as, like, the voice of a generation of Broadway. No one can match her vocally. It's unbelievable. And listening to her sing this incredible score by Jerry Herman every night is just such a pleasure. But also, she brings such... She's funny. She brings such an honest, comedic timing to the show that is wonderful. And she's so present. We always talk about, you know, like someone looking at you directly in the eyes on stage. And she does that. She takes every actor in with every scene that she has. And she just makes you feel so comfortable and present in the show. It's quite amazing to watch and be a part of every night. I consider myself very lucky in that regard.
This is, by the way, here's where I have learned so much even more about Hello Dolly, because Porchlight Music Theater here in Chicago, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but anyway, they're doing something in November. It's just after you leave town, or I would invite you to it. It's called The New Faces of 1964. And they've asked me to host it and perform in it. And that's because I'm a huge Fiddler on the Roof fan. But of course, Hello Dolly was that same year. So
it was, yeah.
That means that you and I might be playing the same role, Nick, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I would love that. Well, if you do that, you got to send me a video of you doing Cornelius, please.
Oh, I will. I will. I don't know if it'll be Cornelius. I have a funny feeling I'm more of the Horace Vandergelder type. Well, thank you for that. Hey, so I have to ask you, as you sort of tour the country and all of that, it's the Chicago audiences, and you've been here, this is why you're so great to ask this to, we are the best in the country, but, you know, you've been to Cleveland, you've been to Utica, you're going on to other cities. Talk to me about coming home to Chicago. Well, I think you're coming home to Chicago. Talk about our audiences
I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I arrived here yesterday afternoon, and the first thing I did was just walk around the entire loop. And every place I went, I have a memory, which was so special. I was like, I had a dinner there, and we did that at that place, and we did that there. And it's just like everything flooding back. And it's very emotional because I did grow to love Chicago so much. I was here for almost a whole year, and we really experienced every inch of the city. And so I almost feel like 4 weeks here at the Oriental is not enough because there's so much I want to do again that I'm not going to be able to fit in. So I'm a little bummed about that. But it is, it's such a special city, and I'm standing here right now looking out my window where I'm staying right downtown, right in the loop, and just looking out. And I just love this city so much. And I'm so happy to be back.
So if there's one place for pizza that you're saying, oh, I am going there before I leave the city.
I'm not answering that question because I'm not going to get myself in trouble. There's right. so many people. Illuminati? Is it Giordano's? I'm not going to answer. Oh. I like them all. I'm right. an equal opportunity employer for pizza.
I would have said Illuminati's, but okay. But it is, it is all really good. And you did say it first. I just want to make that point.
Okay.
And here's the other thing. As I said, Hello Dolly. I mean, it's from my childhood. But what is it? So many years later. How many? I don't know, what are we? 50 plus years later. What is it about this right. show that keeps it kicking and selling out houses and traveling the country? Who would have?
No.
I'm not even sure that Jerry Herman would have guessed that this show would still be around. He wrote the thing.
I know. The show is timeless, and I don't know that anybody knew that until this recent revival. I mean, we say this is the quintessential production of Hello, Dolly to see. Whether you've seen the show 100 times before and you were there when it was on Broadway the first time, or this is your first experience with the show, this is the production to see. From start to finish, it is just glorious and lush, extravagant, expensive, beautiful to watch. But then also the message really hits home. You know, there's a lot going on in our political climate today. Lots
oh, really?
Of
I hadn't followed it.
The world. Maybe you've heard of a couple things going on. But Hello, Dolly. I mean, it really, we like to say Dolly has perfect timing. She knows when she's needed. And I think she's needed so much right now. Audiences are going to come in, a lot like Book of Mormon. They're going to come in and sort of forget about their troubles for 2.5 hours and just laugh and be entertained. But then also it's going to hit you. There's this monologue she has at the end that hits me every show. And it's so appropriate to today's political climate. And the message just really rings true. And I won't give anything away, but you're going to sit there listening to her last monologue. And you're just, it's going to wash over you. And you're like, oh my gosh, she's so right. Like, we need this woman in our lives right now.
It does make you think that it was written yesterday. By the way, I know Jerry Herman.
It really does.
He may have been ill. Did Jerry Herman play any role? Have you met him tied to this at all?
So Jerry Herman, you know, he lives in L.A. He's quite elderly yeah. at the moment. So he actually never got to see the production, even when they mounted the Broadway revival last year. And so we're hoping we play L.A. Later on, just after the new year. And so I'm hoping that we're going to get him to come see this production there when we play the Pantages, because I think it would be so special to have him there. And I think he would be so proud of what has been done with this production. He's definitely very much in the loop. And our director, Jerry Zach, keeps him in the loop of everything that's going on. He has a hand in casting as well. But I would love to just see him there in person at the show. I think it would be so special.
And I have to know, by the way, you just threw out your director's name, Jerry Zach, as though that's not a Broadway legend.
Yes. I mean, working with him has been unbelievable. He is such a dream, so smart. I feel like I just learned so much in that whole rehearsal process. I found myself really invested in other people's rehearsal as well, just because I wanted to, you know, soak up every ounce of knowledge that he was giving. He's just a genius through and through, and it was an absolute pleasure to work with him.
So, you know, I actually have one of Dolly's, Bette Midler's business cards. You know, you can get those from time to time. Yes, that was the dangerous thing when they let me backstage to interview, to meet with them. David, don't put me near
props.
Don't let me stand near the props. Put a guard over there somewhere. Aladdin almost lost a genie lamp.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I got it. So Hello, Dolly, with just my favorite guy, Nick Rulo, is playing through November 17th at the Oriental Theater. All you got to do is go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get tickets, BroadwayInChicago.com. I think, Nick, you just illuminate from the stage, and I look forward to seeing you in that show. And,
thank you.
So we're going to end it with a song. Again, it's not your voice because we don't have you on tape doing this yet, but you're going to recognize it. It's your buddy Gavin Creel playing the song that you yes. do sing in this show. Put on your Sunday clothes. Hello, Dolly. Don't miss it at the Oriental Theater.
Out there, there's a world outside of Yonkers, way out there beyond this hick town, Barnaby. There's a slick town, Barnaby, out there, full of shine and full of sparkle. Close your eyes and see it glisten, Barnaby. Listen, Barnaby. Put on your Sunday clothes, there's lots of world out there. Get out the brilliantine and dime cigars. We're gonna find adventure in the evening air. Girls in white in a perfume night, where the lights are bright as the stars. Put on your Sunday clothes.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. every word I drop. Knowledge, I'm a diamond in the rough.
Well, you know that song, you know that show, and if you don't, why are you listening to this podcast? Because that, of course, is from the classic show Hamilton. It's called My Shot. Now, that is the voice of Lin-Manuel Miranda, because he wrote the thing, so we always give him credit. But, you know, one of the cast members in Chicago who just stole everybody's heart, I think, in the show here, he played the role of Philip Hamilton, which, of course, is Alexander Hamilton's son, and also John Lorenz. Yes, two roles, two different parts in the show. It's an amazing feat in Hamilton. He's recently left the show after an incredible run, and he's off doing some really cool things that I want you to know about, that he wants you to know about, but he'll also be back to appear nearby at the Pride Films and Plays annual fall benefit called Simply Sensational. So that's what brings him on. But let me introduce to you my friend Jose Maxi Ramos. Jose, welcome to the podcast. I think it's our first time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hello, Paul. Hello, listeners. What's up?
Well, hey, yeah, we've done TV together, but our first time with this podcast radio thing. And
yeah.
So first of all, okay, so but let's catch everybody up. When you were on stage in Hamilton for a couple of years, we knew you as Jose Ramos. Now
yes.
We want to enter the Maxi House, as you like to call it, Jose Maxi Ramos. So talk about that transition in your public identity.
Yeah, so totally. So yeah, music and music writing is something that I've always been passionate about and sort of silently working towards. And, you know, everyone, Chicago hometown, knows me as Jose Ramos. So I decided, you know, let's show a bit more of myself. Let's show the world a little bit more. Hamilton was a great opportunity to say, hey, I'm a great artist, but there's even more to that. So that's where the Maxi kind of came. Like, I want to give the max of myself. So, you know, Jose Maxi Ramos.
And fortunately,
it's my middle name.
And it's your middle name. So your parents kind of came through for you, knowing one day you'd need that.
Yeah.
Now, would this growth have happened, do you think? Would you be where you are now and doing what you're about to do without Hamilton on your resume?
Oh, goodness. No. I mean, Hamilton was a great foundation for me. It was my first professional job as an actor.
Which, by the way, is amazing. That is amazing. I remember you said that on our TV show called Backstage, and the audience burst into applause. So many of the cast of Hamilton, it was their first acting role, and I just don't know how you step into that from nowhere. It's incredible.
They really, our director, Lynn, Tommy, Lack, and Andy, they really just gave us the show and really took care of us the whole time to give us the courage and kind of the guts to be able to step out there. And, you know, it's been an amazing time. You know, I did the show for 2 years, which is the longest commitment I could say that I think I've ever done personally.
For now.
Yeah, definitely. So,
now, am I right? Although your heart is, you're from Chicago. I know you were born in Evanston. And by the way, past summer, I met some of your classmates, although I can't tell you their names, from the Chicago Academy of the Arts, because they came up to me to introduce themselves and you know, mentioned you. And I said, oh, I'll have to tell them you said hi. And so I just did, but I don't remember who they are. Anyway, but they love you. So is it true that we have, at least on a temporary basis or in some realm, we've lost you to New York? You're off doing your thing in New York now.
Yes. I actually am in New York right now, working towards production of my music and auditioning for other projects. But yeah, I do miss home. I am terribly homesick, so I'm excited to come back and do a little gig for home. It's going to be awesome.
Well, and you did actually here, because you played at Shuba's and at a sold out house. That's the other thing. You got to know you're doing good when you do like one evening and the thing is sold out and you can't even get a ticket. They threw me out at the door. No, I'm kidding. but just amazing. So and by the way, let's talk about why you are coming back to Chicago, because if I don't, I'm so into what you're doing, I'll forget to talk about this, and we can't. On Monday, November 5th, which is a great night because it means there's no theater. Monday, November 5th at the Broadway at the Pride Arts Center, you're coming and you're headlining a show called Simply Sensational, and you talk about it. I'm going to talk about it, but talk a little bit about what this event is all about. Obviously, it's a key fundraiser, but tell us what you'll be doing.
So, basically, it's Simply Sensational. So, basically, it's a benefit concert for Pride Films and Plays that promote different plays and different art pieces that are of the LGBTQ community. So basically, I get to come home and do a little bit of my own music, but you're also going to see musical theater pieces that I grew up singing that I never really had the opportunity to perform. So it's going to be a little bit of musical theater classics and some of my original tunes.
Fantastic. Now, there are some other people performing that night along with you. You're the headliner, but there will be some other folks, right?
Yes, yes, yes. We got Billy Dwyer, Matt Hudson, Molly LeCaptain, Avery Anderson from Priscilla, and The View Upstairs. All superstars. So you're gonna,
super.
It's going to be a great night.
And
we got a cool closing number for y'all.
I love it. And by the way, I'm going to encourage people to get their tickets sooner than later because it only holds 85 seats. That's it. At the Pride Arts Center.
Yeah.
4139. So that is, and I've been to that theater many times, so it's up close and personal when you're performing there. This is your first time performing on that stage, I think, right?
Yeah. But I'm excited because, like you said, it is a more intimate experience. So
Completely.
We're going to be up close and crying, laughing, you know, all that good stuff.
And while it's a fundraiser, the good news is, because usually you hear a fundraiser and it's like, well, those tickets are $8 million. You know, it's only $50 to get a seat. Now, it is true that gets you a seat. You also get some dessert afterwards. But for $100, you get the VIP treatment, and that means a reception ahead of time, and that's cool. And there's only a few tickets, I think, doing this for $1,000, and that's a lot of money. But for $1,000, you get two VIP tickets, and you get a behind-the-scenes show rehearsal with you and the full cast. So we actually get to watch you rehearse if we're among those just lucky few who have paid at least $1,000. But that's something that people don't usually get to see.
Yeah, definitely. You get a little sneak preview of the performances as well as any pre-show nerve meltdown.
And it also says they get to stay with your family for a week. Is that a typo? Am I reading? No, I'm
I wish.
I made that up. Hey, it should be fun. So here you are with this new life. And by the way, you were in Chicago Med. I should tell you, you were fantastic in Chicago Med. For those who are the shows, Chicago Med, Chicago Law, Chicago PD, Chicago Horse Racing, whatever it is. But you were in Chicago Med. And so here you are in New York. And I'm going to argue in some ways back to your roots because I'm going to kind of surprise you with this. I've got a little music. You tell us, after you hear a little bit of it, I came across this, what it is we're listening to. And I hope it doesn't scare you. Here we go. Let's play it.
Choking horse boy, choking horse boy. These people aren't mine. This family isn't mine. That's fine.
All right. So, did that sound familiar, Jose?
Yes, that sure did. That was from a little competition I did.
Yeah.
That was actually my first quote-unquote public performance in New York. Oh, gosh, I was so nervous. But it was awesome.
That was 2013. I hate to say it wasn't that long. That's amazing because you're so young. 2013, that was Broadway's Rising Stars.
Yeah.
And that you were at Town Hall. I've actually lectured on that stage. It's a wonderful theater, and I love backstage where there's all these like things on the wall. I'm sure you looked around and saw all the celebrities that had posters and signatures and things.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Like I remember just stepping out. That literally was my first performance, like my first big stage performance before Hamilton, and that was just like a little preview, a one night only concert. But as soon as I got out there, I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. Like, I definitely got to keep doing this.
Well, I wasn't going to do that to you and not let folks hear a little bit of who the current Jose Maxi Ramos is because, you know, that was then and you were fantastic. And we hear that range in your voice. And that's why you were in Hamilton for 2 years. But let's listen to a little bit of who you are now.
Somebody give me a song without a melody in tune.
Just beautiful. Who wrote that song, Jose?
Thank you. I did.
I know you did. It's so rich. It's so, and I have to tell you, and the reason I mentioned that that New York piece we heard from Town Hall was 2013, because we're, you know, it's only 5 years later, or let me word it differently, it's 5 years later. There is such a, gosh, a deep, velvety sound to your voice. That's a compliment. That has come into play over these years of development. And then there we are catching your sound. And you write a lot. I do know a lot about what you're doing. I know you write a lot about relationships, right? The existing ones, the ones you want. Talk about what your goal, your focus of your writing now.
Yeah. I mean, basically what I write about is experiences that I've had and then experiences that I think that any of my friends or relatives are in. A big thing I like to highlight is honesty. Being honest with yourself, being honest with the people around you in the relationships that you're in. And I think music is a great way to kind of tap into that, you know, vulnerability that not everybody can tap into on an everyday basis. So I try to be as honest as I can in my tunes.
And there's a flavor to it as we listen to that. There's a bit of kind of R&B to it, right? That is that. Who's your influence? What's your influence? I mean, we could say it's Lin-Manuel Miranda, but you had it before before him.
Of course. Well, definitely Michael Jackson for sure. He's my everything from the Motown all the way throughout his career. But I definitely started with Motown, listening to Motown through my parents, and then, you know, growing up in the 90s, so I had all that classic R&B tunes, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, so it's a lot. You know, I grew up around a huge family, so every family member had their favorite artist that I would, like, steal from and, like, keep in contact with, so it's pretty awesome.
Well, I mentioned you were born in Evanston, but I think the family home for you has been kind of the Logan Square area, right? Isn't that the area you're from?
Yes, yeah. When I went back out to the city to attend the Chicago Academy for the Arts, I was out in Logan Square.
Yeah, so you are. I don't care if you moved to New York. You're a Chicago guy. And you always will
Chicago's
be.
Chicago's always home.
And I encourage people to come see you. It's on Monday, November 5th at, again, Pride Arts Center. You can get tickets at pridefilmsandplays.com, pridefilmsandplays.com. It's as inexpensive as $50. If you got a little more money and you want to have a VIP reception, it's $100. But if you really want the treatment of watching Jose rehearse, and I'm sure you'll interact with them, I hope.
Of course.
Just a few tickets at $1,000, but what a rare opportunity that would be. Remember, there's only 85 seats in this place, so that's going to go fast, and that's why I asked to talk to you early on so we can let the word out, let people know what was going on. And so happy you're coming home to do that. It's called Simply Sensational. The website, again, pridefilmsandplays.com. And, you know, I think Dean Richards and I, your best friends here at WGN, I think since you're writing music now, you should write a song about Dean and me. What do you think?
That sounds deal. I can do that. Chicago, it'll be titled Chicago's Finest.
Yes.
Bing, bing.
I love it. I'm going to tell Dean to wait for it because I know he'll have you on radio. I'll have you on. You'll do that song. We'll just love it. It's so great. Jose Maxi Ramos, the way people can follow you, the best way to follow you is on Instagram and YouTube. I guess we can go to YouTube for you too, right?
Yes, my YouTube channel.
At Jose Maxi Ramos. It's the Maxi House. I'm proud to be a member of the Maxi House. I'm one of your big fans out there. You know that.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining me. Good luck. And we're going to go out listening to a little bit more of you, Jose, today.
Thank you so much, guys. Somebody give me a song without a melody in tune.
Chow and drink. fancy wine. I'd like those stumble bums to see for a fact the kind of top drawer first-rate chums I attract. All I can say
is, well, you know that song, right? If they could see me now, you hear singers sing it all the time. You may or may not know it is actually from originally a Broadway show and a film called Sweet Charity. It's one that goes back to 1969 when it was first written, written by the classic work of Neil Simon, who recently passed away. The music, so recognizable, by Cy Coleman, with lyrics by Dorothy Fields. And it's playing at Marriott Lincolnshire. So if you have not seen it, this is the time, because it's playing through the end of this weekend. I saw it. It was great. It was such a treat that I asked to be joined by some of the cast, and especially I wanted to talk to the director choreographer for reasons we'll talk about. But let me welcome them all now. Anne Horak, who does play Charity Hope Valentine. Anne, congratulations on this great role. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And Alex Goodrich, who plays the role of Oscar Lindquist in this show. We'll talk about who he is. You've seen him. I should have mentioned Anne has been seen on Broadway in Chicago and White Christmas. And Alex Goodrich, who has been seen in many places, but also at the Marriott at How to Succeed in Business, which I saw you in, and She Loves Me, and On the Town. Alex, welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
And we have Alex Sanchez, so I have to just be real clear about which Alex I'm talking to, who is a great director, a choreographer. He's done Newsies over at Marriott and On the Town, which means we brought the Alexes back together again for this show.
Thank goodness.
Exactly. And Mary Poppins. And I'm here to report, as we just got everybody on, that they haven't seen each other in quite a while. So although I'm hoping Alex Goodrich and Anne Horak have seen each other, like, nightly. but bringing Alex Sanchez back. Anyway, welcome all. So I'm going to start with a question to Alex Sanchez and ask you, you know, for this show, 1969, and we'll go ahead and tell the listeners a bit about what it's about, because actually one would argue, I mean, I was around in 69 as a young kid, but this was a bit kind of a racy theme for back then, right?
It was actually ahead of its time in that sense, because it was taken from a Federico Fellini film that was about a prostitute, actually, and so, of course...
Well, that just made Anne feel good. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so making it for Broadway, obviously they had to dummy it down, and I think some of the locations that were kind of on the decline at that point were still dance hall hostesses. They still existed, although there were probably maybe one or two clubs in Manhattan that had that. Anyways, it was a homage really to Gwen Verdon because she had Bob Fosse's first and only child, Nicole Fosse, and she got out of the business for a couple of years, and he wanted to do something to bring her back in a big way, and so he thought of the idea and created the idea of Sweet Charity, really to pay homage to Gwen Verdon, and to have her obviously be performing and doing all that she does, which is great singing, acting, and dancing. It's an incredible role.
Very much so. And, of course, not only Gwen Verdon, who is in the film version, so people can see that's around forever, of course. But actually, the clip we played going in was Christine Applegate, just because we're on a recent Broadway show. Unfortunately, we didn't have Anne to play for us. But, Anne, I've heard you, and you're better than all of them put together. But, so let me ask you, here it is, sort of an iconic, it's a classic role. Does it even concern you when you step in to play Charity, that which is her name, that you're playing a role that was sort of immortalized by Gwen Verdon? Or do you sort of look at this as, new day, new audience? It's me now.
Yeah, I think it's always important to honor, you know, the source material and who originated the role. But I think as an actor, it's important to really to honor that, like I said, but then to make it your own. And what a great role to make your own. I mean, I think the lovability of Charity comes from bringing yourself to the character and bringing the honesty of Charity, of yourself, to the character. So, no, I don't think that's an intimidating quality. It's just honoring that and then doing your own thing with it.
And Alex Goodrich, and you come in, of course, you're the night, and we like Charity, by the way, even though we call her, she's a dance hall hostess or whatever. I mean, it could have gone in a Fellini way, in a very dark place, but it didn't. It's a very likable character, and Alex Goodrich as Oscar, you, of course, like her very, very much as the show goes on. And by the way, there's kind of a, I don't know, because if my memory is right in How to Succeed, you were Bud Frump, right?
True.
Yeah, see? And I could just see it. There is kind of this image I have for you in these kind of nice guy, if not quirky roles. But talk to me about the role of Oscar and why you're so good in it.
Oh, well, shucks. I'm only going to speak to the first part.
Because
I think we'll have to let everyone else come and judge the second bit.
They're prepared to do that.
Yeah, all right. Good. Oscar Lindquist is a tax accountant who has a lot of personal hang-ups, and he ends up being thrust into close proximity with charity with an unfortunate circumstance that leads to kind of a whirlwind romance between the two of them. And I think the story that Mr. Sanchez and Anne and I have been working together to tell is about these two people that have very different things going on in their lives, and how they come together for this moment, and hopefully because of their time together, they grow as individuals. And but mostly for myself, it is an awful lot of fun to play someone with just an overwhelming load of neuroses every day. It's a blast. I get to do some like just beautifully written Neil Simon scenes that are like couldn't be more perfectly timed from like a comedy perspective, and then also interesting from a like social perspective. It's a really it's a delight.
And what great timing too, because of course Mr. Simon just passed away.
Yes.
Just I think within the last couple of months, and so here this runs. We'll just say in tribute to him as well. By the way, I want to do a special shout out, and I'll come to you for this, even though you didn't cast him. But Adam Jacobs, who plays Vittorio in this, I worked with Adam when I did a backstage show on Aladdin, and what a treat it is to see him up there. To be honest with you, because you know, like several of you, but all this Broadway work, and then he kind of came home to do that at Marriott. So I assume you're having fun working with Adam as well.
Oh, he's the best. That whole scene, I mean, that is, I think, a 25-page scene. It's almost like its own little show in some way, because it's so kind of separate from the rest of the show, because after we meet Vittorio in this epic scene, we don't see him again until Bows. So, but what a delight. He's so wonderful on and off stage. What a glorious voice. He's been an absolute blast to get to work with.
Yeah. So, by the way,
he's
since
a Chicago guy now. He and his family have moved here.
Yeah, which is
lured them away.
As well we should have. By the way, when they do have one scene and then you're kind of done, do they just kind of go get lunch and then come back for the curtain call? Yeah.
We share dressing
rooms. Alex can tell you.
Oh.
I don't do anything in the first act. We've joked about starting a group craft in our dressing room where we can kind of pass the crafts around.
I think that's a great idea, actually. I'll take you to Michael's. Yeah. We'll buy some stuff. Well,
there
then,
you
Alex,
go.
Since,
exactly.
you share a, since you share a dressing room, please give him my best. I've worked with him a couple of times, actually, and so he's great. Actually, when we did the thing, this is a total side note, but Disney, because it was a whole show for Disney, Disney, of course, had their legal people sitting in the audience. Let's just say they made me cut out half of everything I asked him. Okay. They're so tough, those Disney peoples.
They are.
Yes.
Very controlling.
Alex Sanchez, I'll tell you why I asked for you. And before I even knew you were the director, I knew you were the choreographer of the show. I was absolutely blown away. I can tell a Bob Fosse, you know, choreography from 8 miles away, but I was watching this and absolutely blown away at this. So I'm just curious, and I wanted to get this answer. Is this the original choreography to the show? Did you play with kind of some Fosse movements to where I just thought it was absolutely brilliant? And some of the scenes, I mean, you know, where you have the ensemble dancing, man, if that's just award-winning to me. But go ahead and talk about it, Mr. Sanchez.
It's a homage. It's a homage to Bob Fosse. I am not approved to do the original choreography.
Ah, okay.
But I can certainly do the original style, because that is open to public. The ideas are obviously the same. The music and the arrangements are written in a certain way that you can't really go off a particular path with the choreography. The two notable numbers would be Richmond's Fugue and Something Better Than This, where I tried to make it as much about paying homage to the original choreography as possible, even though there are, you know, differences and storytelling differences with it.
Well, you did a brilliant job with it, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And so, Anne, and this is Anne and Alex Goodrich. So, obviously, Alex Sanchez has to direct you in the round, but you're playing in the round. And, you know, I'm one of those snobs who love to kind of sit down front in a theater and whatever. But, of course, in this theater, there is no bad seat. And talk to me about what it's like, whether it is the key to the direction or just a sense you have of realizing you've got people 360 and you've got to be able to do whatever you're doing so everybody gets it.
Yeah, I think it's actually freeing in a way. You never have to worry about upstaging yourself or having your back to the audience and all these kinds of things we worry about in a typical proscenium setting. So actually, it's very freeing. You can spin around and nobody's missing anything. And I think it's actually, it's different in a very kind of wonderful way as an actor.
So for you, being in this situation, better than Broadway, better than doing Chicago, I don't mean by the show, but the experience of being in the round is more fun for you than just that, even technically, that Broadway-type stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun to kind of mix it up when you're always, you know, typically working in a proscenium. I think it's just enjoyable to do something different for a change. I wouldn't necessarily say better or worse, but it's certainly nice to change it up a bit.
Yeah, Alex Goodrich, what do you think?
Yeah, well, it's also fun that, like, that theater seats almost 900 people, but like you said, there's not really a bad seat in the house, and no one's ever too far away from the stage at all, so it does feel like when we're all together in a room telling this story and observing the story that we are all in a surprisingly intimate atmosphere, which is, like Anne said, a lot of fun to do to play, and it's very freeing and exciting.
And I'll stick with you, Alex Goodrich, for this. So I'm always looking for, like, this is because I'm an idiot. I'm always looking for, like, the monitor where the conductor, you can see the conductor, and I know the conductor's watching your cues. Well, I know where the orchestra is at Marriott Lincolnshire, and he can see you, but I don't think you can see him. Is that an issue, Alex, in terms of cues or anything, or are you not worried about that?
It is a unique challenge to that particular theater, but it is also a known factor going into it. So throughout rehearsals, Patty Garwood, who is the orchestra conductor and head musical supervisor there, knows that, and we all kind of know that. So then while she's playing the songs on the piano in the rehearsal room and at all of the rehearsals going forward, so she knows the show better than anyone else. And it is a situation where we just have discussions with her about who's following who at which moment and what the cue is for the music to start and what the cue is for us to come in. And it's just part of that team of people that while there are maybe, say, two people on stage in a scene and a song, there are actually probably 20 people that are working in tandem at the same time.
And Alex Sanchez, that has to be a challenge for you as a director as well, because, again, you know, always there's certain shows, you watch them and you wonder, maybe the producers or maybe more recently Tootsie, where you kind of wonder if somebody's ad-libbing. And, of course, you realize there's no way they can be ad-libbing because if they are, all these cues are thrown. How much of a challenge is that for you, Alex Sanchez, as a director, working in the round and knowing that you've got these music cues kind of, you know, behind the cast, they can't see it?
Well, I think what it is really about the sensitivity to the work and the sensitivity to the players, the way that they react and interact with each other. Their nerve endings are completely exposed to everything around them, including audience reaction. So I think there's a balance of being aware that there are other people that you're responsible for, not just yourself. In terms of directing in a round, I love directing in a round. There's such freedom to it. I think that you can create great directorial and tableau pictures, especially with the choreography. I think that there's a freedom to create more dynamic and pictures with a theater in a round that might limit you with a proscenium because you're always having to play front.
Yeah.
With an in a round, you never have to really worry about that. Of course, you have to worry about sight lines to make sure that everyone gets, you know, the right sight line so that they can see the show clearly. And that's probably the biggest and greatest challenge out of all of it. But we have, as Alex Goodrich said, we have a great staff at the Marriott that have done these shows for, gosh, you know, over 30 years. And so they've experienced sound-wise, also with music, and also with the technical elements. They have great experience in terms of being responsible and sensitive to all the other departments so that we can cohesively do this show in tandem together and smoothly.
Alex
also, we have a great stage manager.
Yeah, Alex Goodrich and Ann Horak, I have to ask you this. The first time you started playing at this theater, did you ever like, because as you, for folks who have never been there, there's four different directions one can leave the stage, and they all kind of go back, and some obviously to a dressing room or different places. So I have to ask this question. I'll start with Ann. Did you ever go off the wrong way and go, oh, no, I've come off the wrong ramp here?
I never went off the wrong way, thankfully, but I did get a little dizzy during There's Got to Be Something Better Than This at one point, because we have a lot of directional changes. There's a big dance that three of us gals do, and I did lose where I was at one point during previews, or maybe it was tech, I don't remember. It all kind of blends together. But then you just have to remember, I mean, there's like a table on the stage. So as long as you kind of remember that, some type of set piece or something as your anchor, and then, of course, there's the orchestra that you can kind of see a little bit, not super great, but as long as you kind of find a way to anchor yourself, then you can, you know, reestablish where you are at some point. So I think that was one of the only times that I grew a little fearful that maybe I wouldn't end up in the right spot, but we were okay, or have a collision with someone. But luckily, that didn't happen.
Hey, Alex Goodrich, I imagine the same thing. In this show, you've got the bench or different things that I guess become sort of identification points for you, so you can keep your sense of where you are.
Yeah, without a doubt, we jokingly refer to it as Marriott Madness when they turn off the lights that illuminate the seats in the aisles, and you have just the stage lights that occasionally you can get disoriented. We have a little red light that's up by the stage management booth, and that is why we take our time with our technical rehearsals and hope that, I don't know, vertigo doesn't set in.
Well, I love seeing shows there. By the way, one other regards that each of the actors can give to, that's to Liam Queeley, who, by the way, was amazing in Memphis. He's done the podcast after that performance. So really, Alex Sanchez, I don't know whether you cast this entire show. Did you do the casting, Alex Sanchez?
I do. I am involved with the casting, yes.
You just got some great people. I guess I just want to make that point.
Thank you. I'm very fortunate to be working with a very talented group, for sure.
Yeah, and when you do Fiddler, I will be your Tevye, just so you know.
Okay, fantastic. Done.
Put myself out there. Hey, I also want to let folks know, because I actually didn't know about this, but this has nothing to do with any of you, but there's a program at the Marriott Lincolnshire Theater called Stage Pass. I'm not going to get into it now. People can check it out by going to marriotttheater.com/stagepass, but it's just this great deal. You pay like $20 a month, and you see things as much as you want and change your tickets and all that kind of stuff. It's really just a great plan. So I don't even know if you guys know about that, but I wanted people to know about that.
Yeah, it's like the Netflix for theaters.
Exactly right. Although better than Netflix for theater. I'm sorry. Netflix is good. I was thinking of MoviePass. That's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, and by the way, to go out to Lincolnshire for me, I live in the city, but you know, you have dinner there, which I did. New restaurant, by the way. It used to be a great steakhouse. I kind of love that steakhouse, but new restaurant, and the staff there sees a show. It's just kind of a getaway thing. Stay overnight if you want to. It's really cool. And I encourage people, you only have until through this Sunday to see Sweet Charity. Let me find out, Alex Goodrich, what's next up for you?
Oh, well, I'm doing a play down at the Court Theater in Hyde Park called Photograph 51.
Very cool.
Which will have so much less singing, dancing, and comedy.
Who's directing you down there?
Vanessa Stalling is directing that show.
And Anne, where are you going?
I am actually excitedly doing South Pacific. I'm playing Nellie Forbush in a symphony production of South Pacific that will be with the Omaha Symphony and in Wichita.
Wow, Alex, that kind of made you pale in comparison to that one. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And Alex Sanchez, are you at the Marriott next up?
I have not been given any duties at the Marriott yet, so...
Well, I'll make a phone call.
We'll see how that goes.
All right. Yeah. Well, the website to get tickets is Marriott Theater, spelled the proper way, by the way, T-R-E, the English way. That's the way you do it. MarriottTheater.com or Ticketmaster. You can get tickets. Sweet Charity, playing through Sunday. You just don't want to miss it. Ann Horak, fantastic. Alex Goodrich and Alex Sanchez. That choreography blew me away, and I just wanted to tell you that on the podcast. So I congratulate all of you. We're going to go out with another one of my favorite songs. I plan the song, so I'll pick what I want, I'm gonna guess it's one of your favorite songs too. Thank you all. Be safe. Have a great rest of show. We're gonna go out with a little bit of Rhythm of Life.
And the rhythm of life, the rhythm of life, with the tingle in your feels on the top of your feet. Rhythm in your feel, a tingle in your feet. Yes, rhythm of life, a tingle in your feet. And the rhythm.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's P-A-U-L-L-I-S-N-E-K. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.